Good morning, everyone. If we haven't met yet, my name is Greg. Very excited that you're here, and I hope to meet you face to face. And I know you guys, front row, I like it. StubHub, is that what you did? You just have a good broker, right? I like that. And my spitting range is usually a couple feet, so I think you're safe. But if you are new, we're thrilled that you're here. It's actually the perfect day to be here because we've been doing a series called I Love My Church. Actually, as a church, beginning in January, we've been reading Luke's writings, the Gospel of Luke, and now the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is, these are two books in the Bible, the New Testament, and the book of Acts is kind of like the history of the church. So it's a great day to be here, particularly today, because one of the benefits of the church that we're talking about today is community, the blessing of community. So we're gonna unpack that. But first, I want you to respond to this statement. I actually want to hear from you. And think of this in the context of community, all right? Relationships with one another. Here's the statement. Circles are better than rows. Circles are better than rows. What do you think that means? Talk to me. What do you think? So in a circle, you can see everyone face to face. In rows, you just see the backs of heads, which in your case, very nice, very attractive backs of heads. Yeah. Go ahead. We're going deep here right away. The circle is really a picture of unity. That's amazing. One more.
It also creates a sense of equality, like the Knights of the Round Table.
Sense of equality, like the Knights of the Round Table. That is awesome. Who's got their sword today? This is amazing. Love that. I love that. Hey, and just so you know, I'm not keeping score, but this middle section does have 3 points. Sides, I don't know. But circles are better than rows because we are better together. We are better together. We actually grow stronger when we engage in community. Circles are better than rows. Think about it. If you want to develop community, if you want to develop friendship, if you want to be part of a brotherhood, a sisterhood, these are established when we lock arms with one another, when we go hand in hand, when we sit eye to eye, knee to knee, and have a conversation. That's why our Christian lives need to be more than sitting in a service on Sunday. We need more than that. Circles are better than rows. Now, I'll admit, rows are functional. There's some benefits, right? They're functional. They're orderly, they're predictable, but as was mentioned, they're one-dimensional. There's just one means of expression. A circle allows for community. As humans, we're actually a relational species. We live in a relational world. Right? Typically, when we talk about this time period, we reference it as the information age, and it's true. There's a lot of information out there, but it's less an age of information and actually more an age of connection. TGIF, you know what that means? But in a connectional era, it's Twitter, it's Google, it's Instagram, it's Facebook. Right? Those are apps or services that do process information, but for the purpose of connection. Of relationships. See, that's why I actually got a table set up here. What's up, fellas? Hey. Little checkers? No, you're fine. I noticed there's $20 on a table. Does that mean anything? Okay. But that's why I've got a table. The table, I want to use the table really as a metaphor for community. A square table, a round table, it doesn't matter. It allows us to face one another. It allows us to foster relationships, to grow, to develop them, because circles are better than rows. And I actually asked these guys particularly to be up here, because this is two of the seven of us men who are in this disciple-making group together earlier this year from January to June. And so there were some significant relationships that were built, that were established there. I just want to think about the table, though, again, as a metaphor for community. There's a lot that happens at a table. A table is where our identity is kind of born, and it's even shaped. It's the place where the story of our lives is retold, or it's reviewed, it's reminded. Hey, remember that time you did such and such? Or you can do it because remember when? Right? It's the time where our stories are reshaped, reformed, renewed in our minds. At the table, we slow everything down. We let the pace of the day slow down so our soul can catch up with our bodies. We catch up with each other at the table. We talk, we tell stories, we laugh. And it's important for each of us to listen to one another's story, to share one another's story. Because the reality is, each of us is simply a story with skin on. That's an interesting image, right? But it's true. We are stories with skin on. And the other thing I love about the table is about food. You know, if you're reading the Gospels and you're not getting hungry, then you're actually missing the meat, pun intended, of the Gospels. Because it's hard to find a place or a scene where Jesus is teaching and either he's not eating, he's not feeding someone, or he's not using food as an illustration. That was a truth about God. I want to reference this book called From Tablet to Table by Len Sweet. It's a great book that really talks about the value of the table and what our culture does and how our culture has shifted and is beginning to reshift to recognizing the importance of developing community around the table. You know, one of the most important ministries in our church, I mean, the reality is they're all essential, they're all important, but one of the most important ministries is the minister of food. Right? Who is the one that is helping put things together? At our church, if you haven't met her yet, her name's Maria. If we have like a church event, or today we have a class later on today, she provides a meal. You know, she makes sure there's a meal there. If you haven't met Marion, she oversees our cafe area, and she's got an amazing team of people. She's got Lisa's on that team, Janet's on that team, Debbie and Cindy, Elba is on that team, Susa, Arian, Terry, Asha. These are our community builders, and it's literally at a table. And what they're doing is they're creating space for us to talk with one another. They're creating an opportunity for us to slow down and instead of running from point A to point B, but just stopping and engaging. That's an important ministry because circles are better than rows. We are better together. We grow stronger when we engage in community life. We're going to look at Acts chapter 18 to identify several benefits to community life. But first, I want to give you 1 minute to think about as many benefits as possible there are to being in relationship with others, to being in community. Just for the sake of example, give me one. What's one benefit to being in community? Encouragement. That's an incredible benefit. All right, so that's the type of thing I'm looking for. You got your bulletin. There's something that says message notes in there. Just write on the back of that. You got pens. And Since we're talking about community, why don't you team up with someone next to you or two or three people around you? And you guys, you can make your own list too, all right? The benefits of community. So I'm going to put a countdown timer up on the screen. Don't let the guy on the screen distract you. You got 1 minute. Go. All right. Time is up. How did you do? Did anybody get like three or more? Just raise your hand. Anybody get five or more? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to share a bunch. Mine aren't the definitive, you know, answers, but just see how many similar ones we get. And then at the end, if you have some additional ones, then let me know, all right? And these guys, how many did you get? They got five. Okay, they're just making up numbers right now, but they got five. All right, we're going to look at Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Here we go. Verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. Okay, first time, you know, when you're reading the Bible, you just need some context. It's after this, what are we talking about? Last week, Pastor Corey talked about Paul's time in Berea. And we talked about what was happening there. Well, after that, later in the chapter, Paul went from Berea to Athens. 200 miles. Right? 200 miles. And the LIE was still under construction there. So it was, imagine that. It was a challenge to get there. But then he left Athens and he went to Corinth, according to this verse. And it's another 45 miles. So this is a traveling man. All right, next verse. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because, check this out, Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. All right, so there's some persecution in Rome. The Jews are kicked out. And so they leave, they head to Corinth. 600 miles from Corinth, I'm sorry, from Rome to Corinth, which included needing to cross the Mediterranean Sea. And LaGuardia was still under construction back then. So, you know, there's an incredible amount of challenges in covering that kind of distance, 600 miles. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and he worked with them. All right, so Paul and Priscilla, Aquila, they connect. All three are travelers. Right, and they're open to community, and they seek it out, and they welcome it. That's significant. They're open to community. They seek it out, and they welcome it. I actually read this on Facebook, a great quote. It says, "No community deserves the name community if it is only comprised of groups who think alike, talk alike, walk alike, look alike." That's good, isn't it? It's a reminder that diversity is important. And so here are some people, a lot of similarities, Paul, Priscilla, Aquila, travelers. They were followers of Jesus. They were tent makers. A lot of similarities, so they connected. But it's important for us to be comfortable and welcome diversity in our midst. And we're talking about the church today, so you know we can use us as an illustration. I love the fact that at this church, there are Mets fans and Yankee fans, and they actually love one another. There are Republicans and Democrats and people who could care less, and they actually love one another. This is important. When you interact with or find someone who disagrees with what you think or what you believe, that's okay. So welcome one another. Have a conversation. Sit eye to eye, knee to knee, and dialogue. Because here's one of the benefits of community. Community unites. Community unites. And I just want to recognize a couple of groups of people right here in terms of uniting. First of all, I just want to recognize the college students who are here. At our church, we've got students who come from Adelphi. We've got students who come from Hofstra. We've got students who come from Post. We've got a group of students today who are here from NYIT, the Webb Institute. I mean, first, I just want to, you know, whether you're 9 or 99, the church is an important place to be. But But I just want to affirm and encourage our college students that great job being here, because we recognize this is such, this is age, 18, 20, 22, 24, you know, somewhere in there, major decisions are being made. And I just want to affirm you guys for being here. And I also want to affirm a group of people that helped them get here. We have a shuttle bus. We have a team of people. Vanessa leads this team. Eli is on it. James is on it. Mike is on it. They go out and get our college students. They make a pickup at the space where we're used to meet. But as we have some more colleges come around, we only got one bus. So for those of you who are interested in being drivers, using your vans or cars, horseback if you're in that field, you know, whatever. On the back of that yellow card, that Sweena reference, just write, you know, college student driver. And then we'll kind of put you in that rotation. Community unites. Let's keep going. Verse 4. Every Sabbath, we're talking about Paul, he reasoned in the synagogues, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Another benefit of community. Community supports. See, Paul here has got trials. He's got challenges. But he's going to be in it. He's in a community that's going to support him. Imagine being at the dinner table that night after Paul just has it out with them, right? "Your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent. From now on, I'm going to the Gentiles. I want to be at the dinner that night. How was your day today, Paul?" "Oh, here, let me get started." You know, he's just... It's a place where people will listen. Community supports one another, encourages one another, helps them to persevere. I want to illustrate this. I'm going to show you some pictures of the prayer room that we've had over these last 2 weeks. It's a 24/7 prayer room that we had from October 1 to today. It's still going on. It ends today at noon. And I encourage you, after the service, let's see, Jay, if you wouldn't mind, if you're interested, I'd love for you just to go take a walk to the prayer room, if you haven't been there yet. But since there's somebody praying, if you wouldn't mind just helping, you know, them kind of walk through. So if you're interested, go check that out. But this has been an amazing experience. And you know, you see a bunch of things that people wrote, or those sticky notes, or different places where people were praying for missionaries or friends or family or just nations. And then some, you know, different artwork that people created. I even put some artwork up there. And like, I'm not an artist, but just being there, I was just, you know, inspired. But I mention this because in terms of community supporting, this almost did not happen. This is something that we talked about all summer. But then just when it was about to get started, there were just so many logistical details, and it's not our building, and there's just all kinds of questions about security, this and that I literally said, you know what? We're not going to do it. We'll just pray from home. And I was just tired and defeated, and I was like, it's not worth it. But there were three people who affectionately refer to themselves as the Andrew sisters. I don't know if they sing, dance, I'm not sure. But they said, "Greg, we will take this on. Everything that you're thinking about, just stop it, and we will carry it. We will make this happen." And I just walked away. I said, okay, make it happen. Community supports. There's an amazing example. Keep going. Verse 7. Then Paul left the synagogue, went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. This is awesome. I also would have loved to have been at the dinner that night. How was your day, Paul? Let me tell you what God did. Another benefit of community is community celebrates. We celebrate with one another. We acknowledge things that are happening, big or small, doesn't matter. And we celebrate steps of faith. We celebrate milestones. We celebrate together. I referenced this last week, but this week I have a picture. If you don't know this couple, this is Rosie and Pablo, a young couple in our church, and they're actually in the prayer room. They went in to pray together, and they came out engaged. So that's amazing. And are they either of them here right now? Either next service. I'm not sure what the date is, but I don't know if I'm invited or not. But I'm going, so it's happening. Community celebrates together. Keep going. Verse 9. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. This is amazing. God says, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you." Get this. "Because I have many people in this city." You have community, Paul. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. So God knew what was coming. God knew Paul was going to get attacked. Paul was going to get judged. And so God was proactive. God was speaking to him. So just when you're going through a challenge, when you're going through a trial, and you're like, "I don't get it. Why is this happening?" I don't necessarily have the answer, but God does. God knew it was coming, and he's preparing you now for what's coming. And if it's happening now, he has prepared you. So hold on. Hold on. But God knew that there would be people there, because another benefit of community is community strengthens. Community strengthens one another. Last week, I think many of you know my story, but there's enough new people here who this may be new. But I'm a guy who struggles with depression, and I'm doing great now. I went to a therapist for a long time. I've been on medication for a long time, but every once in a while, click, there's like a light switch. And I don't know if it goes on or off. I'm not sure which, but I go from being myself, this positive, upbeat guy, to sucks. I don't want anything to do with people, or blah 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 blah. And I used to be my life constantly. But now, just once in a while, it happens. Last week, it happened. Last Saturday, it was literally just click. And I'm at a place now where I know, all right, God, I know you're here. But man, I just don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. I'm naturally an introvert, which many people are surprised by, because, you're up on stage and this and that. I'm out of my comfort zone. Like, doing something like this like exhausts me. Whereas my wife, she does this and like she's ready to party afterwards. She's an extrovert, I'm an introvert. So it's very easy and natural for me to be by myself. I like it. That's how I'm recharged. And so naturally, I was just by myself. But there was something in me, probably God's Holy Spirit, saying, "Go public with this." And so I let my boys know. I texted these guys and four other guys, these six other guys that are in my disciple-making group. "Fellas, I'm struggling. Would you pray? Would you pray for me?" That's about all I said. And my phone blew up with support. And I still felt terrible, but deep down, I knew I'd be okay. So, thanks, fellas. Thanks. Community strengthens. I was going to skip to verse 18. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and he sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. They arrived at Ephesus where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. I think my notes are wrong. Okay, so he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. So here Paul's this traveling man. Priscilla and Aquila travel with him to a certain point, and then he goes off. Another benefit of community is community commissions. Community sends us out to use the gifts that God has given us. Sends us out to be a blessing to others. Sends us out to take steps of faith. That's what a community does. When that nest is getting too comfortable, the community acts as mama bird and says, get out, it's time to fly. Community commissions. I want to show you some pictures of our launch team. Right, Suena mentioned Westbury is one of three campuses. We are the newest one. And actually, I forgot to mention this last week. Marilyn reminded me. Last week was our second anniversary. Happy anniversary to us, right? 2 years old. We're 2 years old, so I guess we're in our terrible twos now. I wonder what that's going to look like. I'm excited. I can't wait. We're a bunch of rebels. But this is our launch team. These are people who left our Manhasset campus, people who left our Syosset campus and said, let's stack hands. Let's believe that God wants to do something in the Westbury area. And so I'm inviting everyone here who was not on that original team. We're not done. There are people in your lives, at your school, in your home, on your street, at your work, who need to be reminded that God loves them, that God wants a relationship with them, and that there is a community that will embrace them. Even if they don't believe in God or don't believe in all this stuff, you don't have to believe first. Just come, belong. We'll work it out as we go. I think I have, do I have one more picture? Yeah. I said, this is Leo before he had this Jesus hair. Leo, you in here? He's around. Yeah, let's see that. Just let's shake those locks. Oh, he's back there? Okay. After the service, just go ask for Jesus. Where's Jesus? I'm growing my hair out just to be like him. I know, Leo. All right, let's keep going. You're going to have to listen faster because I'm running out of time. Acts 18. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia, Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Here's the benefit. Community cares. Community cares. We care about one another. This picture right here, this is a mini coconut cream pie from Kerber's out in Huntington. Their oven is connected directly to heaven. It's just boom. It just produces these things. I love Kerber's coconut cream pie. And Bobby was one of the guys in my, you know, the disciple-making group together. And it was Monday, or no, I guess, whatever, it was a day. And Bobby was like, hey, are you home? I'm like, yeah. And honestly, I thought, oh, man, I don't want to be around people. But he rang the bell, opened the door, and he's holding a little box from Kerber's, and he goes, here, I got to take off, here you go. And then inside was a note, you know, just encouraging me. Community cares. Next verse, verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogues when Priscilla and Aquila heard him. They invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. So there's some teaching here. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who, by grace, had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. This is the last one. Community sharpens. Community sharpens. Here's Apollos, very smart, very wise man, but he did not know it all. His greatest asset wasn't his knowledge. His greatest asset was that he was teachable, that he came under Aquila and Priscilla and learned from them and was equipped for some greater ministry from there. Folks, there's more to the Christian life than a prayer for salvation. A prayer for salvation secures you eternity. But it's more than that. It gives you purpose for the rest of your life here on this playground we call planet Earth. And our greatest calling is to make disciples. We'll unpack that more, what that word means in the future. But it's more than that. So here's my summary. Community unites, supports, celebrates, strengthens, commissions, cares, sharpens. Does anybody have anything else?
Faith.
Community produces faith. That's awesome. I love it. What else? Lord. What's that?
Love.
The community loves one another. It's awesome. Anything else?
Accountability.
Whew. I was going to say, this. There's no points coming from here, but you got saved. Accountability, which isn't always pleasant, is it? But it's healthy. Thank you. Last one. Jimbo, what do you got? Protects? I love it. Because I know you got my back, right? All right, man. Thank you. Community protects one another. Let me show... Do me a favor. Take out... There's an insert. Looks like this. And take a look at this next picture. This is an Olympic athlete, long jumper. His name is actually Derek Gillette. And if you're wondering what he has on, you know, it's not Batman wearing a mask. He's actually blind. He's a blind athlete. That's a whole other story about how he competes. But I'm using this as an illustration. Steve-O, what's the distance from the drapes to drapes? Like 40... 45 feet. So from this drape to that drape, 45 feet. The world record long jump is 9.5 meters, which doesn't mean a thing to me, 29 feet, 4 inches, 4.25 inches. 29 feet, 4.25 inches. That's 45, so it's probably like, you know, maybe to here. Long jump. 29 feet, 4.25 inches. I could do the quarter inch, all right? Actually, I could do 4.5. I could do the 4.5. He's got to cover the other 29. But if I were to say, hey, this is the record. I want you to go from there to here. We could practice and do all we could. But chances are highly likely we are not going to get anywhere near this distance. And the temptation for us is to say, I'm just not going to do it. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. Because we're trying to get from here to there in one jump. Stop trying to do that in one jump. Take a step. Look at me. I'm closer. When you're ready, take another step. Whoa. I used to be there. Folks, this is the spiritual. This is the Christian life. This is what it means to follow Jesus. Take a step. You don't have to do the whole leap. You can't do the whole leap. Take a step. This insert are some steps. Check it out. Believing or building community matters. It starts with the first step. Here's the first section. Which steps will you take? You know, this first section, these are things that you kind of would imagine we would promote. Join a community group, a men's, a women's group. Right? The men's groups just started on Saturday mornings. There's women's groups that just have started. There's ones in the morning and in the evening. Community groups for couples, for singles, regardless. Anybody's welcome. Serve on a ministry team at church. We talked about the launch team. We talked about the shuttle team. We talked about the cafe team. There's a variety of ways to serve. And honestly, and let me just say, particularly if you're in college, I would encourage you to serve on a team because that, Maggie said, accountability. That's accountability. It's like, hey, we need you. Learn how you're gifted at the contribute class. Joe, one of our elders at the church, which is a fancy say of one of our key leaders, he and I are teaching a class next month on how we're gifted. All right, now this is the fun one, though. So those are some normal ones. The next section, we're having a taste of community dinner at my house. And you're invited. We're having 3 different nights. You pick one, all right? You come once. October 29th, October 30th, November 1st, all right? I live in Syosset. If you need a ride, we will give you a ride. But come. So on this sheet, put a number one or a number two, like first choice, second choice. Because everybody can't come the same night. All right, so put a one or a two when you can come. And then we'll figure it out. And then the last one is attend the West Point Hofstra game on Friday, November 10th. This is fun for a couple reasons. Number one, it's free. All right, it's free to us, but two guys in our church bought a whole bunch of tickets for us to make this happen. So it's free for us, not for them. So sign up for this. But the other reason it's free is, besides having some Hofstra students, we also have the guy that is on the starting team for West Point, who goes to our church when he's here. And actually, he was here this weekend, but he's practicing right now. His name's Luke. And when we go to the game, every time he gets the ball, Luke, every time he gets the ball, it's going to be awesome. So that's free. Sign up for that. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to give you a minute to fill this out. Think about it. All right? Take a minute and think about it. Oh, I'm sorry. The game's a basketball game, and it's a 7 o'clock start, 7 p.m. Yeah, Luke is like 6 foot forever. So if you saw Luke, you'd be like, oh, yeah, basketball. Yeah. Dinner at my house. The guy that gets freaked out by being around people, right? I'm gonna sleep well those nights. All right, what's that? Am I gonna cook? That's a funny one right there. I'll be cooking up a good mix on iTunes. So we're gonna, you can drop these off in the offering. We're about to receive our offering. For the offering, if this is your first time here, we're not worried about your money. We'd love to get the card. Let us know you're here. But if this is your church home, it's just really, when we talk about following Jesus, it's a great way to put our faith in action, saying, yeah, I'm going to invest in God's kingdom. But drop those in there. And if you're like, I don't know my calendar, I can't fill it out yet, don't worry. I'm going to follow up with a church email, have all the dates, but as much information we can get today on who's going to the game, who's going to dinner, the better. All right, let me pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good, good Father. You know, that's a lyric and kind of becomes cliche, but it's true. You are a good, good Father. And so we just recognize that you are awesome. We love you. And for those of us who aren't quite sure how we feel about you, I pray that you would continue to open our eyes, soften our hearts, that we may truly know who you are. Thanks for this amazing day. Thanks for an amazing group of people that we can be with today. And we ask your blessing on this day. In Jesus' name, amen.